your GPS that just sent you in circles around and around again? You guys, I don't know if you remember, it was quite the thing. People would end up in all kinds of places, and we'd have to go down from Newport, and you'd come back on the Katy Crotch Road, whoever made that, and you'd have to come out, and people trying to come over from Bangor. It was just kind of a mess. It was just a little big bridge. We need bridges. Bridges are important. And how about that lovely bridge in Norwich Walk that they are now finally rebuilding? You know the bridge going into Norwich Walk? I'm sure you do. And that bridge was old. It had those lovely arches, and two cars couldn't go on it at the same time. You had to be paying attention, or you would crunch in the middle. Well, they have started working on that new bridge. Well, gosh, geez, when did they start on it? About September 2008, right? And I was just reading an article in the paper. Their completion date, believe it or not, is October 14th, 2011. They're on schedule, but it's a long time to be working on a bridge. Good bridges take time to build. This week, there was great rejoicing. What was the big, great news story of the week? Remember? The miners. Gosh, it already seems like so long ago. It was just this week. All 33 miners successfully, correct? 33. Successfully rescued from deep in the heart of the earth after 69 days in what might have become their tomb. In a way, those folks from NASA and elsewhere who worked so hard on that rescue were also kind of bridge builders, because they were making a way for the miners to cross over from one place to another, even though they were going from down to up. So think a minute about that story, the story of the miners and their rescue. Think about that for a minute, because that we're going to use that as a jumping off place. What struck you this week most about the story of the miners and their rescue? What struck you? What still lingers with you?
Their positiveness.
Their positiveness. Absolutely. I couldn't, yes, they were certainly happy to be out, that's true, but they could keep that. Yeah. Anything else struck you about this story?
They had a hard time deciding who should be rescued first.
Yes.
They kept saying, you go first.
No, you go, no, you go first. No, you go first. Yeah, the triage of that and the graciousness of that. Fascinating.
And the captain at the end.
Yes. Captain at the end.
Cool.
The leader went last. Yeah. Other things that have kind of caught your imagination are has stayed with you.
The bravery of the rescue worker who went down first.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be the first one to test out that hole. Yeah. Because the other folks, yeah. You know, they were just kind of, you know, there and the accident happened or whatever, but this person's deliberately going down.
Pretty good for being down there 70 days.
Did they look pretty good? Yeah, I thought they looked pretty good too. Of course, you know, there's a natural complexion they might be, but I was surprised.
Yeah, they wanted a job down there.
Job, yes. Yeah, and they had quite an athletic regime and things they had to do. Anything else that struck you? It's important. I want you to bring this story kind of back to your present thought as we talk this morning. So, I'm curious to think what stayed with you and what stayed with me. While this good news story is still fresh in our minds, I want to look at the mining story as a metaphor for our lives and our lives in community. And I'm just going to offer you 3 points for you to hang on to. I think three is, you know, everybody says, you can remember three. And I'm even going to tell you what they are ahead of time. Because, and I, you know, and I had to manipulate them a little bit, but you'll remember this way. Stop, look, and listen. You've done that. Stop, look, and listen. Crossing a railroad track, crossing the street, whatever. Stop, look, and listen. You got it. Think about those. Think about stop. You know, when this disaster happened, people stopped what they were doing and they paid attention. Some of the family members never left the rescue site for 69 days. They stopped everything and they were able to stay there. Experts from around the world stopped all the other things they were doing and came. And what kept these guys down under, sane, was knowing that they had not been forgotten, that they had not been abandoned, that they were still loved, that they were still hoped for. That connection to the surface was literally their lifeline, not just to get physical food, but for their own just sanity. Think about your own lives. What does it take for you to stop? To really stop and pay attention. Certainly stop and pay attention to your own life and your own needs. That's a whole other story. And then what about to stop and pay attention to the people around you? Now, we cannot respond to all needs around us. But do we stop and pay attention when God grabs our attention? The woman who spoke at the annual meeting this weekend, Glynis LeBar, one of my favorites, she says, you can't eat the whole elephant, but you can take a bite. Do you stop? Do you stop and be present, in the present, to what's going on around you? You know, people have to learn to trust you, to trust us, before they can ever learn to trust God. Those rescuers and their family stopped and watched and waited. And people in our lives, and even our families, will test us to see if we really will walk with them through their pain, through their suffering, through their questions, through their confusions. Will we do that? Are we willing to invest our life in the life of another person whom God loves? And I've talked before about this kind of idea of kind of tithing our time to the people around us who wouldn't, you know, not our family, not our close friends, but the people that God is grabbing and keep putting in our lives. You know, if you have someone that keeps showing up in your life and they just keep reappearing, pay attention to that. God's trying to do something there, so stop. And you say, well, the folks around me aren't in that kind of life and death struggle like those miners. But then you can say, well, really? It's a different kind of life and death. Okay, so they're not stuck in a hole a mile underground. But does that not mean that still what's going on in their life is crucial and important? Sometimes just to stop and be present is an incredible gift. Incredible gift. I'm so task-oriented. It's a real challenge for me to stop. Real challenge. Stop and look. Stop and look. You know, in that mining situation, you would say there wasn't much to see. They were a mile into the ground, or whatever. How many feet into the ground were they?
Half a mile.
Might as well have been 20 miles. Half a mile into the ground. But families and rescuers didn't look just with their eyes for the danger signs. They looked below. They looked for illness. They looked for depression. They looked for mental stability. The mining experts looked at the rock. They looked at the stability of the rock. They looked at the tiny shaft. And they paid attention to the details. And that was really hard to do when you're separated by, was it 2,400 feet, half a mile, whatever. Really hard to look at the details. But to look. And we look at the world around us, but you know, the world also looks at you. People in the world around us want to see evidence that God is working in our lives. If our lives aren't any different than everybody else's, then we really need to pull back and look at our lives and look at our relationship with God and say, what am I not turning over to God? How am I not letting God work in my own life? That doesn't Sometimes Christians seem to have the hardest burdens. But what do we do with that difficulty? What do we do with that pain? What do we do with that struggle? And people are looking to see, does God work? Does it make any difference? Statistics say now that 70% of Americans live totally secular lives. 70%. And what they mean by that doesn't mean that they hate God. It just means that God doesn't matter. It just means they don't think about God when they're going to make a decision. It doesn't have any impact on how they live their lives or the decisions that they make. People are looking for God. And they're looking for God outside this traditional church. And that's why it's good we don't spend a lot of time here. Looking outside the traditional places. And that's where we are most of the time. So we need to also look for God and where God is working outside the traditional places and helps people see that God is working all over the place. To really help people see that God is working does require us to stop and slow down. And I'm really trying to practice this. I was up putting up posters for homecoming weekend and I had a wonderful conversation with Bonnie Holding and her work with Casting for Recovery, which is offering retreats and fishing retreats for women who are breast cancer survivors. And the more I heard, the more I realized that is an amazing work of God. And I kept trying to feed back to Bonnie what a ministry she has with these women who are surviving. And just to listen and to be and to help, you know, create a place, a space where those women can network together and support one another. And I just kept saying, Bonnie, that is an incredible ministry that you have. And of course, you know, she's blushing because, you know, she doesn't think of that word. But I'm like, honey, it's God work. Trying to make it clear that the church does not have a lock on the activity of God. And it's really crucial for us to remember there's a lot of people doing God's work who don't know him yet. A lot of people doing God's work that don't know that they're doing God's work. They're just doing the right thing. And I want to encourage them to really look at what people are doing and to look at what you all are doing. So stop, look, listen. The miners underground were the experts on their own condition. Okay? Sure, they needed help and guidance from the people on the surface, but they're the ones that were down in the hole. They were the ones that had the firsthand experience of what was going on in their lives. Now, those above, on the surface, did know certain things. One of the things I picked up was that they decided that the miners would get 2,200 calories a day so they could fit in the rescue hole. Because they knew how big the hole was. Some of them actually had to lose weight to fit in the hole. Usually when you're in a rescue situation, you know, you're trying to keep them fed. Well, they were on this very strict diet. Can you imagine? How horrible. But the miners brought their own experience and their own wisdom, which couldn't be ignored. They were in the hole. They knew their lives. And that's so important for us to remember and why it's so important for us to listen. I'm learning that talking and talking about God worked in a culture where people had a frame of reference about God. A church culture. Kids who grew up in Sunday school, maybe they wandered away, but at least they knew the stories, you know. Talking worked in a church culture. It doesn't work anymore. Listening is the skill that will now work in what we call our secular culture. Listening to what people are saying. Listening to people's lives. Listening to our children, our grandchildren, who are most by and large not being brought up in the church. Being open to learn from them rather than just teaching them the truth. Because people are just, they're not necessarily going to listen. They want you to listen. Something that we're hearing loud and clear is that people don't want the church to just do things for them, but to come alongside and be with them. And I can get in this trap of wanting to do things for other people, but sometimes that's not what people want. They want you to be with them. This winter, our little congregation here is going to be focusing on listening to those around us, hearing how they identify their needs, their wishes, their dreams in our community. I make the mistake sometimes of thinking I know what our community wants and needs, and I'm not always right. So we're going to be intentional about asking and about listening. Listening to the mountain, listening to CBA, listening to the selectmen, listening to our community leaders, what are our needs in our community? Really listening. Kind of interesting. We haven't quite done it quite like that before. How good a listener are you? How good a listener? We can always be better. So stop looking this way. Very simple. Very simple for this week. I'm reading from the LA Times online edition. It said, the first miners were pulled to safety just after midnight Tuesday, delivered into the waiting arms of ecstatic family members, engineers, and officials. The president of Chile, Panera, said this, we have lived a magical night, a night we will remember throughout our lives, a night in which life defeated death. Does that sound familiar? We call it the resurrection. As daylight broke, the pace quickened. Each miner's emergence unleashing a new wave of raw emotion. What only hours earlier seemed magical, however, soon got routine. If any of you watched any of that, you know, after a while, you know, oh yeah, there comes another one. And our work here at the ministry can get routine. And, oh yeah, here comes another winter. Oh, comes another Tin Mountain Roundup. Oh, here comes another canned food drive. I want us to step back and see how magical and how miraculous every one of those things is. You know, I believe it. I've been doing Sunday morning. If I figured it out, I might go Lulu, you know. Oh, here comes another Sunday morning. Here comes another Sunday morning. But each one is magical. Each one is miraculous. Each one is holy. Going on. One after another, ordinary men, united in an incredible tale of survival and distinguished by each other's unique skills and stories, returned to life. Every person you meet has a story. You have a story. And every person wants to be known by someone who cares for them. Do you hear any of the stories of these guys? I love this list, just a very personal one. The 55-year-old miner who led a prayer group came up. Led the prayer group. Followed by the 26-year-old former security guard who helped manage packages sent down to the miners. Little bitty packages. Next, the one who, while trapped, asked his wife of 25 years to renew their wedding vows. Followed by the one who went underground to pay for his son's medical school. Next, the miner colleagues referred to as Dr. House. After the TV character, he must have been a handful. Followed by the one who monitored gas levels in the pit and sent readings to the surface. Each one has a story. Every person you meet is very interesting. I don't think you guys are all very interesting. So I can stay every day. I learn something new. Be interested. Everyone has a story, and they want someone to hear that story and to encourage them in that story. My personal favorite, the mother's story. Alicia Campos, whose 27-year-old son, Daniel Herrera Campos, was the 16th to be lifted out of the mine early Wednesday afternoon. She said her first order of business was to take him home to southern Chile and say a mass of thanksgiving. Before leaving to greet her son, Campos likened the rescue to, quote, a cesarean section done on Mother Earth. And then she said this, Daniel will truly be born again. But before I hug him and tell him how much I love him, I will thank God for allowing this to happen. I would love to hear more about that story. Would you like to hear the rest of that story? Just a couple of hours after Ursula reached the surface, the last of the six medics and the engineers who had descended into the shaft, Alan and I voluntarily descended into the shaft to assist the miners, was seen on the video from below, waving and taking the bow before being lifted out. And did you realize that the last one out left the lights on? What a way to end the ordeal. The light overcomes the darkness. Sounds familiar. The light overcomes the darkness. They left the light on. You are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl or buries it in the ground. Instead, they put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before all people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Remember, stop, look, and listen. And to leave the lights on, let's be in prayer. Lord God, we join with thousands, even millions around the globe, thanking you for the rescue of these miners. We know that every life is precious, and that every day thousands and thousands die, and die often unnecessarily through poverty, disease, neglect, and the burden of that must weigh on their hearts so much. And if we were willing to enter into that pain, we too could probably bear it and lose it. But on this day, we rejoice. We rejoice in this rescue and how it has reminded us that we can work together, how it has reminded us that miracles happen, how we are reminded that caring for one another and not forgetting one another is an incredible gift. Oh, to persevere under the ground for 69 days. Lord God, your Son is in the ground for 3. And we rejoice that in the resurrection of your Son, you give us hope. You give us meaning. You give us purpose. Lord God, thank you for sending your Son, for loving us so much that you allow him to endure true death for our sake. And Lord God, as we live this life, may we stop and look and listen to the people you've put in our lives, and even the random strangers that you put in our lives. There are no coincidences. To make the most of every moment, to leave our lights on, that they may bring hope to others. Lord, it's a privilege to be able to pray. And Lord, we keep bringing prayers and putting them in the box. And I forgot to mention that today. Put another prayer in that box. Maybe even put the same prayer back in again. To commit, Lord, to praying. What a privilege it is. Pray for the prayers that have been put in the box. Trust in you to take care of those concerns, those heartaches, those hopes and dreams. And we remember particularly those who are struggling with cancer and fighting that with even within their own body, how it betrays them. Bring them hope and good courage. And your healing today. Remember Barbara's sister Donna. Remember Wendy and my dad. And Karen. Oh, so many others. We remember those who grieve today for their comfort. We remember those who are standing vigil, who are standing, you know, at the top of that shaft and waiting and waiting and waiting. Think of Mike Malin and his family. We pray for Scott's healing and for him to return to us. Lord, we pray for Will, and at 13 years old, to be faced with something so strange, so difficult. Lord, come alongside him and give him hope. Lord God, if you took all the prayers in the world and summed them up, they could not be any better than the prayer your Son taught. So we gather everything up and we lift it up to you. Lord, hear our prayers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,